Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Way of the Dreamer. This is the show where we affirm the power of dreams, coincidence and imagination to take us to a deeper, juicier, more creative life. I'm very excited. Our guest today is Claire Perkins. She is a dream teacher, and we'll do some dream work together as we go along. She is a creative coach. She leads workshops to help you develop your creativity and apply it in life. And her book is Fallen, The Adventures of a Deep Water Leaf. I'm holding a most beautiful copy, illustrated by Claire herself, which has a map at the back of Lake Sojourn. And what a wonderful name Sojourn is. It originally, for the Romans, means a day trip, what you can do in a day or less. But, of course, that might mean what you can do in a lifetime, which passes like a day and drops like a falling leaf. Reading Claire's book, you know, I'm stirred alive to think about how everything is aware and conscious if we pay attention, how we can find teachers in unexpected places, including in the realm of the animals of one kind or another, and how we might all, in a sense, be leaves from the dreaming tree who've left a kind of oneness, come into this world, and a challenge to find a way to do more than live on the surface of things, vulnerable to whatever comes along. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you for having me, Robert. It's great to be on the show.
Well, let's start by talking about the book, because authors must be eager to talk about the book first and last. It's a lovely book. It's charming. It's heartwarming. It's all about soul. It has the wonder of a children's story, and yet it takes us very deep. You write in your generous introduction that attending one of my own creative writing retreats played a part in the genesis of this book. Is that so?
Absolutely. I went to your writing as a conscious dreaming exercise. I don't remember the title of the workshop, but it was fabulous, and we all were able to explore ideas.
You're going very faint, Claire. Can you speak up and put your mouth closer to whatever you're speaking into?
Is that better? I'm trying to speak loud.
That's better. So speak up, please.
Okay.
Did we play act part of your story at that writing retreat?
We did. The first three chapters basically came through in your workshop, and then we did dream theater with it, which was fabulous. We had the leaf falling from the tree, and we had the crows coming and taking the leaves away, and moose trampling them underfoot, and it was just a rowdy, raucous, wonderful dream theater.
I'm so glad that it helped to bring the book through. I mean, when I lead in-person workshops, which is fairly rare these days, the dream theater, the performance, the acting out of the dream is my favorite element. And it's quite wonderful to see what can happen for an author like yourself, including yourself, when a story that is in development is suddenly published in the sense that the whole group is in it. And you can then play, you know, scriptwriter and editor for yourself with the characters playing the raven, the leaf, the moose with the heavy hooves, and so on. So tell us what the theme of the book is. You don't have to sort of moralize about it, but it does carry a moral, and it does, and it's simple and a new way. It does goad us to go beyond the surface of things, remember where we come from, remember a larger purpose, and remember how we're connected to animate life everywhere. So tell us a little bit about what you set out to do in the book.
Well, the dream Deep Water Leaf had come to me in a dream many, many years ago, and it was a theme that stuck with me that I wanted to explore more deeply. What does it mean to be a deep water leaf? And so this book is sort of my answer to that. It follows the structure of a hero's journey, but it's seasoned with a splash of dreaming, a dash of quantum physics, a little bit of metaphysics and maybe a smidgen of shamanism. And the idea is that we all come from this place of oneness and wholeness, and we fall into sort of a collective dreaming experience that our souls are dreaming together. And while we're here, we maybe don't remember that connection to our soul selves. And that may be the work of our journey, of our sojourn, to remember. And not only to remember, but to help others to remember. And so I think when we do get off the surface and dive deeper and discover the deeper dimensions of living and worlds beyond worlds and what goes on in our dreams and what happens after we die, all of those questions, when we dive deep into that, we discover that we're really part of something much bigger than this world might seem to be on the surface. And maybe we're even part of a multiverse where there are many worlds like this where we're having other experiences.
If I hadn't had the pleasure of hearing the idea here and the dreams from which it flowed back at that retreat at Mosswood Hollow, where I'm leading another creative writing retreat next week, by the way, so the timing is very interesting. I would be very skeptical about the idea that you could hang a tale on a leaf falling from a tree and having various adventures and misadventures, but it works. And one of the almost shockingly effective things in the book I found rereading it, rereading right back at the beginning, is when the leaf begins to fall. And we understand, I mean, I'm putting this in paraphrase, we understand that as Alora the leaf falls, she's leaving behind a larger part of herself, which I think you called Entria. There's a leaf that stays in the dreaming tree while another falls. And somehow, this is the shocking thing about how well it works. Somehow this evokes for me very powerfully the experience of coming into a physical body from the planes we might have been in before we came here. It almost physically, it's very tactile for me. I mean, I absolutely felt it. When something is welling up and something is going to fall out of the tree of oneness, fall away perhaps from the greater self, it works. So as an allegory, it's really very effective. Let's talk about some of the teachers who turn up for Alora. Of course, she's got her friend who's called Blaze. When he's a very feisty, active kind of leaf. When he comes down, he's called Blaze. And they're in, what is it, the boggy swamp, the boggy marsh, where they can be lifted as nest lining by a raven or trodden on unconsciously by a moose that is a giant to them. They find various teachers, and your own intimacy with the animal world and love for the animal world really comes alive here. One of my favorite parts of the teaching from the animal spirits is the lessons from Lizard. So talk to us about Lizard. What goes on between Alora and Lizard as a teacher in the wild?
Lizard is interesting because he came through to me in this very clear voice that's almost some hybrid between a Cockney accent and a Australian accent, and I don't know where that came from, but he has a very strong voice of his own. And what he wants to tell Alora is that she can write her own story, she can tell her own tale. And he tells her this by his own story of how he lost his tail once to the raven and grew a new one back. So she, at the moment she meets Lizard, is feeling very lost and alone, and he tries to gently tell her that she's playing the damsel in distress when she could be playing the hero of her own story. She doesn't always understand the animals right away, but eventually their wisdom sinks in, and so she learns that she can shift the role in her own story and rewrite the direction she wants to be heading in.
Very interesting that you wanted to give Lizard an Australian voice. I mean, I can put it on, but my default accent isn't as Aussie as Lizard's. But Australia, of course, does have, you know, a multitude of lizards. We have the frilly lizard that sort of puts out a kind of ruff to make itself look much, much bigger when it feels challenged, and we've got goannas all over the place. So it's not wrong to think of the lizard as Australian. Of course, you're in Arizona where you have plenty of lizards of your own. But
right.
I like lizard as a teacher, and I like the fish. And you keep a koi pond, and you evidently feel close to the fish as well, don't you?
Yes. I don't have a koi pond any longer because we've moved from that home. but I did really enjoy my koi pond and felt that the pond itself was sort of a magical speaking place, like much of the world is, like all of the world is. In the book, it's filled with animal guides, and some of them I knew I wanted in the story, and others of them just came and inserted themselves. And then often I didn't know what their message was, and I would just do some two-handed journaling and let them speak and let them tell me what they wanted Laura to know. So it was a learning experience for me, too, as I went through and wrote the interactions with these different animals.
Thank you very much for saying that. I mean, it's very helpful to me personally at this moment, Claire, to be reminded of how characters, in this case, animals, assert themselves. It's been said that if you're going to write fiction or fantasy or something other than nonfiction, your characters must live and do things that you didn't, you know, intend for them to do, and maybe introduce themselves without being invited and run off with your story before you know that it's alive. And you're reminding me that on the occasions when I've written something in a sort of childlike way, not childish, but childlike, featuring talking animals and so on, the animals have spoken up for themselves, just as a human character in a novel might speak up for themselves. Fox, in particular, is very hard to suppress. When I'm writing about animals, Fox will always try to find his or her way. Well, it's he with the trickster fox for me. The mother fox is a rather different kind of character, a very, very sympathetic character. So there's that. Well, one of your teachers for Alora, your wandering leaf, is Turtle. And, of course, in Native American cosmology, we live on turtles' back. But also, in many Native American traditions, as you're probably well aware, Turtle is the great teacher of the deep. And Turtle, Onunwara in Mohawk, plays that role in your book, Fallen. Turtle is teacher of the deep. Talk to us about what we learn with your wandering leaf from Turtle in your book.
Turtle invites her to dive deep, and she's terrified of this deep dive. But by the time she meets Turtle, she's already interacted with a few animals. She's getting more comfortable with the idea that they are on her side, and so eventually she trusts him. He wants her to dive deep to rediscover, number one, where she came from, that she is part of this oneness still, even though she feels separated and alone, but also to discover a really powerful power that she doesn't know she has, which is the power to shapeshift. So when she dives deep, she's able to discover very much about where she came from, but also about new powers she may have in this realm and how they might eventually help the others that have fallen along with her.
We are among the fallen indeed, and many of them in your boggy marsh, and many of them have not yet stirred awake to the realization that they don't have to just be there waiting for some giant to step on them. Claire, whenever I talk to writers, people listening want to know about practice. They want to know how a writer gets it done, what works for each one of us, because we're different. And not only are our writing styles different, but our approach to literary production, getting it out, getting words on a screen or into a journal, are going to be different. So I know that you advocate and practice journaling, and that for me is absolutely essential. Whenever people ask me about what they need to do to be a writer, I say, well, start keeping a journal. It's the most important book you'll ever read, and it's on the subject, and it's maybe the most important book you'll ever write. So tell us about your practice, and wander anywhere you will, you know, including when it's helpful to share with others. We know it was helpful for you in the context of a creative writing workshop. When it's helpful to share and what you don't share, including, you know, what time of day you write and whether you keep up a regular quota or production schedule. Just talk to us about the process of producing a book as you have experienced it.
Well, this book definitely wanted me to write it, and I say that because the dream that sparked it came probably a good 15 years before I wrote the book, And it stuck with me, this phrase, deep water leaf. So I had done some journaling with the phrase. I had done some work with the dream that it originally came from. And it just kind of seeped in my consciousness for a long, long time. But it kept coming back with this question, what the heck is a deep water leaf? And it pushed me to write it. So partly there was that desire of the book itself to come through. And I think other writers have mentioned a similar feeling. I felt really stuck at the beginning because I was trying to answer the question from a place of conscious thinking. And I think instead what I eventually did was allow the answers to come through in a more subconscious way, like the animals speaking for themselves. The first real breakthrough was at your workshop. And I think using dreams, inviting the question into your dreams and then writing the dreams that come and maybe doing some more expansive journaling around those dreams, and the idea starts to develop a little more. I also did an interesting workshop with another writing teacher where we sat down and just wrote full steam ahead by hand with pen on paper with no time to stop and censor and question. And so it was just kind of almost like morning pages, except you were writing on the theme of your book. It's absolute drivel, and yet what comes out are also the main ideas that you want in the story, and eventually reach a place through that really fast writing.
Right. Well, let's slow down and home in on that practice. Is this timed writing? Were you given a period of time when you were to write, and then you start and you stop?
Yes, and those periods of time grew longer.
Right. So how long was it to begin with?
To begin with, maybe like 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
But at
like full speed ahead, don't even think, just let the pen
right.
go. And then maybe you'd go for an hour. And then eventually you could start typing in your laptop instead of using a pen. I find it important to start with pen to paper. I think there's a different connection that happens in the brain and in your consciousness when you're putting pen to paper than when you're putting hands to keyboard.
I agree. Now, look, you're also an illustrator and an artist, and you're very good. Is making pictures and maps also part of bringing through the text?
All of my illustrations came after the text.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I had.
So you weren't making pictures, which then gave you the words. You were making pictures from the words.
Although I can see how that could happen, because pictures often... a picture's worth 1,000 words, that old chestnut, is very true. And often an image can spark an awful lot of deeper writing. In this particular instance, I didn't go that way. The illustrations came afterwards, and they were quite a struggle. I was not a colored pencil artist when I began this process, and I learned as I went along. I had a fabulous teacher that was very helpful.
Well, your illustrations are great. It's a lovely book. The book we're talking about is Fallen, The Adventures of a Deep Water Leaf by Claire Perkins. How do people find you online, Claire? What's your website?
My website is claireperkins.com. Very simple.
Okay, Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E, claireperkins.com. We're going to take a break fairly soon, and when we come back, I thought we might have some fun sharing dreams. I don't know whether you've got one you'd like to tell me, but I have a recent one that I'd like to share, and I'd like you to play my guide, and in the process, we can demonstrate our lightning dream work process. Does that appeal to you?
Yeah, perfect.
It's also, you scared me a bit when you said that the dream that inspired Fallen comes from 15 years earlier, because my journals are full of dreams like that, and sometimes they're story dreams, and the narratives might run on for pages, but I haven't written the books yet, and the idea that they're still after me is both exciting and scary, the idea that an idea from so long ago might still be worth playing with. It might want to play with me, it might want to play with you. The other thing that scares me is we're really a rather contrary idea, and Liz Gilbert wrote about it in her book about Big Magic, that if you have a really good idea but don't write it up, as it might get away from you and go to someone else who's going to produce the book or story or movie script you didn't. I've seen this happen in my life several times. I think we're getting ready to pause for our break, Claire. We'll be back to share dreams and more about creativity in a moment.
Okay.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Mark.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world. And now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. This is Where the Dreamer with Robert Moss. I was talking to our wonderful guest, Claire Perkins, during the break about how books and ideas come after us. And I was just about to tell her that since she mentioned that, you know, she followed a dream from 15 years before to write a book, since she mentioned that to me and I responded that I have dreams and ideas like that in my journals from long ago, I felt to my deep unease all sorts of book ideas and story ideas I have not delivered yet, jumping up and down like unruly children, waving their hands and fists in the air saying, me first, me first, me first. And I remembered a dream of mine of riding around in something like an old-style London taxi, and there are children in the car, and they're bouncing up and down, and nothing is still, nothing is stable. And I turn to growl at them from being so restless and unruly, and they say, we are the world makers. We are the world makers. Listen to us. And they have something spread out on the floor of the car, which is like a map of the whole universe that they have designed. Well, Claire, you know, we know how creative ideas can come after us. I'm going to share a dream with you, if I may, from the last week. It's a somewhat cinematic dream. I'll keep the story as simple as I can. And I'd love you to play dream coach, dream guide for me. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. So don't get too scared by the title. The initial title is, I am in a post-apocalyptic movie. And it starts pleasantly enough. I'm walking in a university town in England, I believe, and I'm walking with a couple of friendly plainclothes detectives. We're discussing some cases. Behind us walks a black detective who says, audibly to us, you can't understand certain crimes unless you know the spirits behind them. Now, this is my kind of stuff. I express strong approval, and we agree we'll talk about it in the morning. Then we part company. I'm going back to my lodgings, but I quickly get lost in the city, and the scenes become really quite extraordinary. In one part of the city, there is flooding going on, and wild water is coming down the steep streets, waist high. And in another part of the city, it looks like it's bombed out. There's rubble everywhere, and there are gangs and looters, and I have some narrow escapes. And then I'm in a grand department store, something like Harrods, but not necessarily Harrods. And there are looters and rioters in there, too, and I'm looking at them, wondering what to do about them. And suddenly, I hear a voice behind me saying in a somewhat panicky way, "He's a priest. He's going to send us to hell." And I turn around, and there's a fish face. It's like the face of a fish protruding from the wall. This is the speaker. And I realize this is a bad thing. I smash it into the wall. It's gone. I turn towards the rioters and looters. I raise two fingers like an old-fashioned priest, accepting the role, and I send them to hell. And I wake up feeling calm and satisfied. So, where are you going to take me with that?
Well, because you know Lightning Dreamworks so well, you've already taken the first few steps, which is that you felt calm and well after the dream, and you've given it a title. I am in a post-apocalyptic movie.
The alternative title would be "He'll Send Us to Hell."
He'll send us to hell.
That would be the alternative title.
Yes. Okay, so you have a title and how you feel about it. So let's explore whether there's anything in this dream that you recognize in waking life, or perhaps something that could happen in waking life in the future.
Well, I'm often in England in my dreams. I used to live in England. I have English family. I have very strong English connections, so that part is sort of familiar. I watch some video series featuring crimes and detectives, and sometimes cases that can't be explained in obvious ways that might have supernatural or other elements. So that part is clear enough. I'm often in a grand department store in my dreams, and often it seems a bit like Harrods, but not necessarily Harrods. And sometimes I think this department store, if I explored every level and every space, would be a sort of structure within which I could learn all sorts of things, including things about myself. I'm not Catholic, wasn't raised Catholic. I was sort of half-raised Anglican Episcopalian. I'm not big on priests or exorcisms, but it seems to work. And I did what was required to contain an unruly situation. I mean, I can see situations in life where I might feel called upon to intercede in a protective way, and I would probably use whatever resources were available and appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Which part of this dream is most, like what would you want to know more about? Which part of it speaking most strongly to you?
I'm very curious about actually being identified as a priest and agreeing to play that role. That does make me think about, you know, different approaches to psychic defense and psychic protection, when they become appropriate, and who I might have to deal with in my life, in ordinary life, who holds certain religious beliefs which are not mine, but which I might need to respect. I mean, I'm thinking about that element in it as something that could play out, it could unfold in connection with other people socially. But I think probably the main thing is, I think I was given a sort of movie script here. Is it the script of something I will see in the future on the screen written by somebody else? Or is it a story I could write up myself? Is this a story project that I should pursue? I think that's probably my main interest. So probably what I most want to know is just any suggestions about how to expand the story and any questions that might lead me to remember more of what's going on, because as we both discover from time to time, the real meaning, the real action of a dream is inside the dream itself if we can just get at more of the details. So I think I want to find out how to bring more from the dream and how to express it in creative ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's my dream and my experience, I'm also intrigued by the priest and the grand department store. I might do a dream reentry and go back into that department store. That fish face in the wall is kind of interesting to me, wondering what that might be about. But if I were to do a reentry, I might talk to the fish a little more. I might explore the store a little more. I might try to just find out why I'm a priest. Perhaps I'm sorry.
Those are very good suggestions. I am intrigued. You know, as we look at our dreams over time, we notice recurring locales as well as recurring symbols. And the Grand Department Store, the Grand Emporium, is definitely a place I keep finding myself in. So looking at the department store is a very good plan, and seeing whether it's the same as the department store in other dreams, getting more information from Fishface, and maybe from the detectives. I mean, I never did have the meeting with the black detective, who I thought really understood how things are. So but probably the most important person for me to talk to is the black detective. I suspect he's going to turn out to be the hero of the story, if there is one.
Yeah, it sounds very intriguing, and if I were in your shoes, if I were you, and the way you've described your experience with the dream, it does feel a bit to me like maybe there's a story here for me to write.
I think as an action plan, I'm going to borrow from our previous discussion about writing really fast for a short period of time. And instead of re-entering the dream in the sense of drumming and all of that, I'm going to sit down with a throwaway fountain pen in my hand. Those are the kind of pens I use. And write for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is, probably starting by a conversation with the black detective and see what comes up. So that's my literary action plan. Thank you for pushing me towards it.
Sounds like a good plan. How about a bumper sticker, Robert?
Right from the dream. That'll do. So we have to take another break. We're talking to Claire Perkins, who just did a fine job of guiding me through a four-step process called the Lightning Dreamwork. We might just pause and explain the steps so we come back. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Gingivitis, gum disease, words you don't want in your mouth. But according to the American Dental Association, 3 out of every 4 adults will develop gum disease. Now there's an all-natural way to fight back. Introducing the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies. Developed by a dentist and clinically tested by a leading university, the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies Daily Oral Rinse and Toothpaste was proven to kill the germs that cause gum disease better than the leading brands. Regular use was proven to reduce gingivitis and bleeding gums. The Natural Dentist contains herbs like echinacea and aloe vera and has no alcohol or sugar or harsh chemicals. The Natural Dentist is guaranteed to work or your money back. You can find the Natural Dentist at most drug and health stores, including Trader Joe's, Save-On, Walgreens, and Long's Drug Stores, as well as most health stores, including Whole Foods Markets and Wild Oats. Call 800-615-6895 or visit www.thenaturaldentist.com for more info.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Do hop over to my website, mossdreams.com. You'll see that I'm leading a number of in-person retreats as well as many online courses this year. And go to Claire Perkins' website, claireperkins.com. We've been talking to Claire about her new book, Fallen, The Adventures of a Deep Water Leaf. And at her website, you may have to look at the marvelous illustrations and the map of Lake Sojourn where so many of these adventures unfold. We just demonstrated, maybe too quickly to go through the steps methodically, a four-step process for talking about dreams and, in fact, any personal story that enables us to give each other some non-intrusive, non-authoritarian feedback and move towards some kind of action to embody energy and guidance from the dream or the incident. We need to do so much more than interpret dreams. We need to find ways to bring energy, guidance, counsel, creative inspiration into embodied life. So the lightning dreamwork process, which I called lightning because it's meant to be fast and it's meant to focus energy like a lightning bolt, there are four steps. And Claire guided me through them, though we didn't explain them as we simply did it. The first is, if you're playing helper, friend, coach to someone who's telling you a dream, you want to get them to tell the story simply and clearly. Don't get tangled up in all the autobiography and all the context and all of that. Get the person to tell the story simply and clearly. When you are doing that, you are performing a great service, because if we can help each other to tell our story simply and clearly, we can be heard much better. We're also on the road to discovering the stories of our life, so we're becoming storytellers and story makers, and a story needs a title. So get a title from the dreamer. I had a title, because I've done this a few times, but had I not had a title, Claire would have insisted on one. Then you ask basically three questions. We skim through this very, very, very quickly, quick as a dragonfly in the thicket that Claire describes in Fallen. You want to know the dreamer's feelings about the dream, their feelings coming out of the dream, even more than the feelings in the dream. For example, in my cinematic post-apocalyptic dream, I was a bit worried inside the dream. I had some narrow escapes. I had to deal with a violent mob, etc. But when I came out of the dream, I was completely calm and even satisfied. That's worth noticing. I mean, that means that, to all intents and purposes, the dream issues are resolved. They might want to be explored a lot more, but there's nothing pressing and urgent in terms of, you know, salvific action. I mean, you've got somewhere to a place of resolution. So first feelings, what does the dreamer recognize from this and the rest of life? And you might want to ask about the future. Could this play out in the future? Could you see a movie like this? And then, what do you want to know more about? Where's your curiosity? And Claire explored that very well, and I talked about that. And then you offer some, if it were my dream, feedback, perhaps. You could say anything you like as long as you put it in the right format and have good manners. If it were my dream, I'd think about such and such. If it were my dream, I'd want to know more about such and such. If it were my dream, I'd think about what my mother did on that picnic when I was 6 years old. Whatever comes to you, you don't need to be an expert. Your own life experiences and your own dreams might be the best way of illuminating and unfolding what's going on in the dream or story that has been offered to you. Then you want some action. What is the dreamer going to do? I mean, don't just leave the thing flapping around as hollow analysis. What are you going to do? Are you going to make a picture? Going to write a story? You're going to go back inside the dream? Dream reentry, as Claire knows well, is one of the core techniques of this approach, which we call active dreaming. It means if you've been somewhere in a dream, you can go there again. I was in that grand department store where the mob had to be dealt with. I've been there. I can probably find my way there again. How would I do that? Well, for home purposes, I might simply do it when I'm relaxed, lying on bed or in an easy chair, close my eyes, follow the flow of my breathing, let an image become more and more vivid until it's there on my screen, and just picture myself stepping through the screen into the scene itself. It's amazing how much can be discovered. And one of the specific things that you can do with this kind of approach is you can talk
to a dream character or a whole group of them, and you're not confined to humans. You can talk to the refrigerator. You can certainly talk to the lizard who's talking anyway. And it's amazing how much can surface from a dialogue with a dream character. You might well find that the dream character is an aspect of you, who is the black detective. You might also find that the dream character is a transpersonal figure. Maybe there is a black detective out there in the world in a university town in England. Maybe you'll meet such a person or hear about them or watch them in a movie. It could be both. It could be both a part of you and a transpersonal figure, and it could be something else. So those are, and for temporary closure, as Claire successfully insisted on with me, a bumper sticker, a snapper, an astonisher, a one-sentence, one-phrase set of words which carries some of the energy and guidance and direction of the dream with you, that's a very cool way to finish the process and get temporary closure. So, Claire, not only do you journal and work and play with your own dreams, but you help other people with dreams and with creative expression. What are some of the things that you've enjoyed and experienced in helping others come awake to all that is available in dreams?
Well, I really love to watch people discover something that their dream is telling them and then also do something about it. I think I had done dream work before I encountered your work, and it was always so... analysis, you know, what does it mean? And then you just go, oh, that's interesting, and walk away from it. I think the real power of the active dream work that you do is that we take that into action. So, you know, dreams can tell people that it's time to change careers, that it's time to leave a relationship or start a new relationship or become the artist they always wanted to be. And I think it's really satisfying to move people from a place of thinking dreams are just crazy night stuff that mean nothing to discovering that they're really life-altering, directional, informational, alive things that can guide our lives and make them, you know, help us take that deep dive into a deeper kind of living. I also like to use artwork as a dropping-off point, and you don't have to be an artist of any repute. If you can hold crayons or cut pictures out of a magazine, even if you're not one who remembers their dreams a lot, you can kind of dream on paper by taking magazine images that speak to you or drawing stick figures and then doing some journaling and storytelling from that picture. And asking it what it wants from you, I think, even in artwork, I like to do that. What is it that you need from me? What can I do for you? Those lead to action steps, and it's the action steps that lead to the life-changing things.
That's all very rich, and thank you again for reminding me of something very interesting, which I personally don't do as often as I might. You can ask the dream, or whatever's taking the place of the dream, the collage of magazine images, if that's what you're going to use. Ask the dream, what does it want of you? I can't remember when I last did that, but I'm going to have a go at it. let the dream speak as a collective entity or whatever it is. What do you want of me? That's a good approach.
There's a set of questions I often use with artwork. I haven't applied them as much to dreams, but I think it would work equally well. The first is, who or what are you? So you ask the refrigerator or the dream character or the picture in the collage, who or what are you? You let them tell you what their name is, or maybe it's self-descriptive of what they are. How do you feel? You're asking the image or the dream, how do you feel? So it's not how I feel, but how does this image feel? And then why do they feel that way? Why do you feel that way? And then what can I do for you? What do you need from me?
Yeah.
And then often I'll ask, what wisdom are you bringing me? So there's a two-way exchange between the dream character or the art image, in that it's bringing me some gifts, but it also wants something from me. And again, that leads to the action that's life-changing.
And so that's very good. And in a sense, you're setting up your own dream theater now, because when we do dream theater, as you know, we ask questions like that of the players, of the actors, who the person who is playing the pizza oven or the refrigerator. Who are you? And what can you tell us about how do you feel?
Right.
Do you need something more? We ask those kinds of questions. You're setting up for it so we can do that in the privacy of our own space. And it's between us and our journal, but it's also between us and those characters from the dream who are now going to be given more of a voice or given a voice for the first time. And it also is sometimes a case of playing the space alien game in which, you know, we say, okay, explain to someone who's arrived from distant galaxy what is a refrigerator. So it mm-hmm. brings in that kind of thing as well. We're talking to Claire Perkins. Her book is Fallen. Her website is claireperkins.com. We'll be back for some more fun after a short break.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our guest, Claire Perkins, is a dream teacher, author, artist, creative coach, many things. We were talking a little further during the break about the importance of going beyond analysis and interpretation when it comes to harvesting what our dream lives offer us. It's about action. It's about action. The action could take many forms. We talked about traveling back inside a dream to get more information, clarify details, continue the adventure, talk to a character. For me, because I love research, the action often involves following a lead, a clue in a strange name or a strange situation. We've got Auntie Google these days. I can find things faster than I did when I was dreaming in an archaic form of the Mohawk Indian language without even a published dictionary or grammar to turn to, just native speakers and old documents. So, you know, I love doing research inspired by dreams, and sometimes this has led to whole books. So, Claire, talk to us a little bit about that shift in understanding, that blessed shift in understanding you found when people discover that dream work isn't, at the end of the day, all about analysis. It's about doing something creative with the dream material.
Well, I discovered this in my own life. My mom dreamed a lot, and she always had dream dictionaries, and she'd go look up what, you know, what the canned meaning was of her dream symbols. And And while they usually didn't make sense, it did instill in me the idea that dreams have meaning, which I think was my first step into this process. But for many years before I found your active dreaming process, I was using different kinds of approaches to dream analysis, and it usually just ends in a stale sort of, oh, that's interesting, but what difference does it make in my life? I think when we actually interact with the characters in our dreams and find out what they want and take some action in our life, whether it's just drawing a picture to honor them or maybe something huge like changing careers, that's what makes the dreaming come alive, and that's what makes the difference in our lives. It's about action. It's always about action. Analysis can just lead us to some kind of...
Very well said. Let's add a complementary idea. All of this is correct and true and something we need to focus on, and it's why I call my school a school of active dreaming, and because we need to be active in many ways with our dreams, learn to enter the dream space consciously, learn to talk and walk our dreams in ways that have positive effect. However, let us say dream life can also be a series of experiences of other worlds, other realities altogether. For me, frankly, this is the most interesting facet of dream life, that dreaming may be traveling. I mean, we travel to other places. We travel to places where the dead are alive. We travel to parallel universes. We travel into a parallel world where we made different life choices, and we occupy for a moment the perspective and the situation of that other self. Early this morning, I found myself traveling in that hypnopompic state when you're just surfacing from sleep, traveling into an American life in Mad Men days. Remember the comedy series of advertising men back in that period of free martini lunches and captions and competitions. So I'm back in the world of a man of that era. He's not a character from the series. He's got his own life, and he's a bit more honest and a bit more clean-cut than they are. And I'm thinking, this is really interesting. I'm not entirely sure why I'm in his life. I think it is to try and influence him to cut down on his cigarette smoking so he doesn't die of cancer. That opens up all sorts of other possibilities. But I'm just reflecting on my own dream life this morning. So I also, the action comes up again, action being taken in another reality, but it's action nonetheless. So this is, I'm going back now to the oldest understanding of dreams that I'm aware of, which is that dreaming may be traveling. We travel, we go places, we make visits, and we receive visitations. And dreaming needs to be understood and honored in those terms as well. So, you know, we might be leading many lives simultaneously, and maybe the best way to understand this on any given night or day is to dream more and try to bring back more from our dream experiences. So we've just got a few minutes left, Claire. Where do you expect or hope your dream life to take you at this point?
At this point in my life, I'm very open to being surprised by where my dreaming life takes me and where life in general takes me. I want to be guided and shown what the next thing is instead of being so much trying to steer things at this point. I want some adventure like Alora had. I want some surprise. I want some new experiences. And I wanted to say, to tag on to what you just said, that also not only is dreaming traveling, but the flip side of that is that living is also dreaming. And we can take our everyday life as a dream and listen to the speaking world and find the messages that are coming to us through waking life as well as through our dreaming life.
Absolutely. This is, in fact, one of the most important things to say to people who are bereft of dreams of the night, which is a common condition in our culture, which has not made it socially rewarding to talk about dreams, and in some cases makes people feel embarrassed or ashamed to share their inner lives. I mean, the world around us is a dream experience. By learning to pay more attention to synchronicities and anomalies in the fabric of ordinary life, we're dreaming with our eyes open and maybe with all of our senses aquiver. One of the funny things is that when you become more open to noticing those meaningful coincidences, the ones you shouldn't dismiss because you're getting shivers. You feel that the universe is personal and is speaking to you. When you start paying attention to those things, it might be as simple as the vanity plate on that car, or the snatch of a song from a car radio going by. Start paying attention to those things, to the way the world is full of signs and symbols, and your night life, your inner life, your dream life might come on again as well, because it's all interrelated, it all interweaves, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. I think that's what Alora has taught me through Fallen, is to pay more attention to the messages from the animals, the messages, even the way she and Blaze learned to surf with the wind at their backs, to find that the elements in the world are speaking to me all the time. It's a practice. It takes some attention, but I think it's so well worth it.
Alora, the wandering leaf, the fallen leaf on Lake Sojourn. You know, Claire, as I get older, I find the calendar pages are falling faster and faster, like leaves in the fall. I no longer find it difficult to imagine that I, too, am a fallen leaf, seeking to remember the dreaming tree where we had our origins. So we'll be talking to Claire Perkins. Her new book is Fallen. I recommend it. We'll be back, really, to say Dream On after the last break.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Thank you for listening to Where's the Dreamer. Our wonderful guest today is Claire Perkins, author of Fallen, The Adventures of a Deep Water Leaf. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing your passion for dreaming, Claire.
Thanks for having me, Robert. It's been fun. I always love talking to you.
All right. Well, do look for Claire, ClairePerkins.com. Do go to MossDreams.com to see what I'm up to. And from now until forever, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.